Welcome to The More Perfect Union, a podcast about the joy we get from American politics, or as we like to call it, real debate without the hate. Hi, I'm Kevin Kelton. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm a moderate Democrat.
Hi there, I'm DJ McGuire. I'm your neoconservative libertarian from Suffolk, Virginia.
And I'm Greg Matuszak from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'll be your liberal Democrat tonight.
Unfortunately, tonight, Cliff Dunn and Emily Brewer could not join us, so it's just the three guys. That is not intentional to be a man's club. It's just the way it worked out. Guys, we just saw the second debate between the two presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and I'd love to hear who you think won or lost and why.
DJ, why don't you start? I got a feeling you've got a lot to say about this one. And I might actually time it. Can you do this without saying Gary Johnson?
I will attempt not to mention his name.
For the first 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. Hillary Clinton was a little less awful than Donald Trump was. Well, she wasn't quite a little less awful. Donald Trump did a whole bunch of things that just rubbed me the wrong way. He didn't show any contrition for the 2005 tape. He tried to minimize it. He tried to say it wasn't important. He tried to distract with various accusations against Bill Clinton in the 1990s, except that Bill Clinton is not on the ballot this time. He said he would create a special prosecutor. He would appoint a special prosecutor just to investigate Hillary Clinton, which gets a whole bunch of things wrong on the email issue. None of them really talked about any specific policies at all. The closest they came may have been Trump's attempt to explain health care, but he generally dissolved into the typical incoherence we get from the Republican Party on that issue. You know, he threw his own running mate under the bus on Russia. I don't think Hillary Clinton did anything to help herself tonight. I don't think she did anything to hurt herself tonight. I think Donald Trump did a number of things to hurt himself. But honestly, I don't know if I'm 3 minutes, but I don't care. Gary Johnson won the debate by not being there.
Honestly. You were actually, I was timing it. You were 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
All right,
so
awesome.
Unless you get edited down, 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
We'll see about that. But honestly, Gary Johnson said as many hopeful things in this debate as either the other two candidates, and he wasn't even there.
Greg, what did you think of the debate?
Well, you know, if we use the same criteria that we've been using for the past couple, who's more presidential? Who can weather the storm of interruptions? And who can sit there and just, you know, oh, this seems like a good idea, and that's not. Well, then Clinton won. I'm looking at one infogrammer thing, and it says that Trump interrupted her, let me double check this, 8 times, but that I don't even think that's right. I think it was more than that. And a fleeting interjection, which is what he was doing more often, 19 times. So somewhere like 30 times, where Hillary did 3. The moderators, for comparison, interjected 42 times because they just to try to keep him under control, both of them. But the point being is Hillary was very calm and very in control. So we'd have to give it to them. But just on the Pence-Kaine one, we also said that Kaine won the week because of fact-checking, and we're going to see the same thing. Clinton won the night, Clinton won the week, because there were so many ridiculous things that Trump, we knew he would do this, I didn't say that, or that's not true. And thus making it another issue. Or he would answer questions and they'd have to keep pulling him back and say, would you please answer the question? And then he finally would, and it had nothing to do, or was it completely untrue? The sex tape question. The sex tape was a completely throwaway question that he could have just answered and been on with it. But he never answered it. And now that's going to be brought. This will be the second week in a row that this Miss Universe pageant, they asked him, why were you texting about this sex tape, which never happened? And then he went off in a direction. And then finally he said, I never did it. But okay, they've got it.
Okay, well, let's circle around. I hate to be the referee here. Let's circle around to fact checking in a couple of minutes. There's certainly a lot to be said about that.
Oh my goodness, yes.
What
did you think, Kevin?
Well, you know, as I said at the top of the show, I happen to be a moderate Democrat, but since our friends Emily and Cliff are not here, who generally represent the Republican side of the debate, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate and tell you why I think maybe Donald Trump had a decent night. I agree with you, Greg, that on substance, I think Hillary Clinton won. But
You're crushing on her, too. So.
And I'm crushing on her, you know. here's why I think Trump had, you know, a respectable night. First of all, it's pretty obvious that he stopped a little bit of the focus on the embarrassing tape that was released on Friday of him and Billy Bush objectifying women. So in that alone, it helps him in that at least he changed the focus, the narrative, the story of the campaign. The other thing is, I tend to watch these, and I know you guys do too, I tend to watch it very much for style, for optics, what the viewer that can't follow the actual debate or doesn't know the issues perceives and sees when they watch this. Hillary Clinton did a great job in the first debate of smiling, of being loose. She did her little shimmy, which was very charming to those of us who are not Hillary Clinton haters. In this debate, she started off that way and occasionally went back to it, but she looked very serious and frankly a little bit upset quite often during the debate. She actually got a little screechy at one point where she started raising her voice, which unfortunately doesn't work for her. It's unfair. It's almost sexist because we hold her to a different standard. But the reality is that when she raises her voice, she comes off a little scoldy. So on the optics of it, I think a lot of the people in the Trump camp, let's face it, they're going to spin this that this was a big win for Donald Trump. They're going to point to those exchanges where he, you know, did do well, and there were many that he did do well on. And they're going to say he wiped the floor with her, he was presidential, blah, blah, blah. The Hillary camp, because they were hoping that she could have another killer debate and put him away, they're not going to be as aggressive in their defense of her performance. And that is going to make it seem like the Trump side won. Because you know tomorrow the Trump surrogates are going to be all over CNN, Fox, and MSNBC telling us how wonderfully he did. So I think Trump did himself well tonight. That said, I agree he didn't move the needle. I think ultimately he needed a knockout, and he didn't even come close to getting that. So in that regard, she lives to fight another day, and she wins the election.
I mean, Trump was really good, and he's very natural about some of his quips. Like, even though he did make that ridiculous line about, I would overhaul the Justice Department, and I would assign a special prosecutor. And when she said something and he turned to her and he goes, yeah, you'd be in jail right now. It's that kind of stuff that resonates.
That was really very awkward and frankly, I think maybe the worst part of the debate. Talking about jailing your opponent after the election is never a good idea in an American Democratic election. Don't you agree?
No. And it doesn't resonate with me, but do you think it resonates with Trump supporters?
Yeah,
and
it resonates with Trump supporters. He already has them. He already has the people that say lock her up and Hillary behind bars and that stuff, Hillary in prison. He has those people. The problem is, and I know I'm not arguing with you guys, the problem is they represent at most 40% of the electorate.
Yeah, he is essentially riling up his base, but he's not reaching out to anyone outside of his base.
Right.
But
let's remember that the last couple of days there was talk of a dump Trump movement, right? If he excited his base tonight to the point where he can dampen that movement, that is an effective win for him, right?
Well, right. Okay, if we're setting the bar by, does he make sure that the Republican leadership doesn't try to stops trying to organize a coup against him?
Right.
Then, yeah, maybe he did enough. But what that really says is, I mean, there's just, I mean, Greg was right at the beginning. I have so much to say, and I'm not going to be able to squeeze it all in. But there was at one point where he said, it was when he dropped the jail line, you'd be in jail. And there's a cheer that came out after it.
Right.
That cheer was one of the reasons why I left the party.
Yep.
It's not just about Trump. All right. The Republican establishment, if you want to call them that, they essentially have a party base that they themselves do not like. That they have a base that embarrasses them. And they don't know what to do with it. And they can't disavow them. They can't control them. They're essentially hostage to their voters. Now, on some level, that's the way it should be with a major political party. The voters should really have the final say. The problem is when the voters put up somebody like Donald Trump, what it really says is that the party is no longer fit to govern. And that's really the biggest problem that the Republican Party cannot fix. They can't, and it doesn't really matter. It didn't matter what Trump did tonight on a whole bunch of levels, because essentially the Republican Party is unable to govern. It is unfit to govern. And that's what came out with that cheer, that 10 to 15 second cheer. That's what came out tonight.
Let me ask you about that, because I thought it was one of the low points of the debate too, but why is that indicative of the fact that the Republican Party can't govern? To me, it's indicative of these people live in a non-reality world where they think Hillary Clinton is literally a criminal. To me, that's what that takeaway is, and they're out of their effing minds.
Well, okay, isn't living in an alternate reality sort of a trigger that makes you unfit to govern?
Well, yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then there we go then. We're in violent agreement.
Okay.
But this is a reminder that Donald Trump cannot defeat Hillary Clinton. And in fact, we are now in a situation, what is going to happen is that not only can Donald Trump not beat Hillary Clinton, but the Republican Party will not be able to provide an effective opposition to the Clinton administration in 2017, 2018, and beyond, because they will be busy tearing themselves apart over Donald Trump.
Well, actually, you know what I think? I think Donald Trump is going to be the opposition leader after Hillary Clinton becomes president. I think he is going to be the opposition leader of the Republican Party. I don't think he's just going back to being Donald Trump and the apprentice and building buildings. I think he is going to be the de facto leader of what is left of the Republican Party.
Oh, that's a great theory. That's really interesting. I put that under speculative fiction, but I don't know.
It is certainly very plausible. If he comes up with the Trump News Network, he could very well use it to replace Fox News. I mean, Sean Hannity is still with him. I mean, Sean Hannity is with him so bad that I actually came up with a fake title: "My Billionaire Nut Job Nominee Made Me Gay" by Sean Hannity. That's how bad Sean Hannity has been.
So
going back to the debate, though, one thing that kind of troubled me was that Trump really has no concept of how government works, because he kept blaming everything on either a single senator. Like,
okay,
why didn't you change all the tax code?
Okay, hold on. Donald Trump knows how the government works. He does that because his fans don't know how the government works. Okay,
fair enough.
Everyone with any sense of how the world works knows that one senator cannot be held accountable for not having revised the U.S. tax code. And she certainly wasn't in a position to do it when she was the First Lady of the United States. And she wasn't in a position to do it when she was the Secretary of State. She was in the United States Senate for 8 years. That tax code has been in its current form since 1986, and it's been screwed up for a lot longer than that. And the idea that he tried to pin that on Hillary Clinton is ridiculous. Well, but back to your point.
He pinned everything on her.
Yes.
Like, hey, everything. Guys. He'd say, well.
Okay. So let's
and
do
that's
this.
What we have.
Let's do this, because we've spent a lot of time on the debate. Let's kind of talk about anything good that the candidates did, because I actually think there was a high point for Donald Trump, and I think it was his last answer when they asked each candidate what they liked about the other candidate or what they respected about the other candidate. And Donald Trump talked about how tough Hillary Clinton is, that she doesn't quit. I thought that was a terrific answer. What did you guys think?
Oh, sure. It was a good answer. Was it his high point? I don't, depending for whom, for For you, yes.
Yeah.
For you, without a doubt. That was enough. I think he definitely might have swayed you for, you know.
I'm going to vote for him now.
I mean, if we're looking at, I mean, the big buzzword right now is women voters, undecided women voters, or even Republican voters who are still wary. And we'll talk about that later, the tape. So maybe he got a couple people because they got to see his softer side.
I'm not surprised if Kevin thought Trump's best part of the night was when he praised Hillary Clinton. That doesn't surprise me at all. but I didn't like either answer that Trump or Clinton gave. I thought, frankly, they were pretty weak.
Okay.
Even those who think that Donald Trump won the debate, and far more pundits thought that than I felt was wise, what will come out is that Trump will probably lose the post-debate week because the stories will be about he denied saying Miss Venezuela had a sex tape. He denied saying it when he obviously said it.
Right.
He said it was locker room talk when he talked about how he could sexually assault other women.
He said that numerous times. Numerous times.
And, you know, I was a teenager a little later than the two of you, so I've probably been in the locker room a little later than the two of you.
We're the same age.
Oh, are we? Okay.
I'm in more locker rooms than you would guess.
Well, that may be, but the fact of the matter is, you know, adult men don't talk to each other in locker rooms anyway. They just get their stuff in and get the hell out of there.
Right.
You know, when teenagers talk in locker rooms, they talk about what women they think are attractive and what they would like to do with said women. They don't talk about what they do to said women and get away with it
exactly
without their consent. Exactly. You know, we don't do that. Iowa Hawk, who's one of my favorite Twitter guys, had a tweet that said, I think it was something akin to, "I'll tap that is locker room talk."
Right.
I'll grab their pee and they can't do anything about it because I'm a superstar.
Is
a psychopath's confession.
Right, right. And I said this a few times on Facebook today, especially in our debate group Open Fire, which I am shamelessly plugging.
you need to talk to those people, though, because they have a weird tendency, and this is very strange. I do not understand why so many people in Open Fire are convinced that Hillary Clinton supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Folks, if Hillary Clinton supported the Trans-Pacific Partnership, I wouldn't be so mad at her.
That's right. She does not support the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Nuts. But again, a lot of people can't understand the difference between saying something as Secretary of State when you're working for a president that does support it versus being your own person when you're a candidate for president.
You mean like having a personal view and a political view?
Ooh.
I think that was... someone paid attention to the debate.
somebody made a great transition right there. We weren't going to... We didn't have it on the list, but I think you're referring to the WikiLeaks alleged download or dump of Hillary Clinton transcripts this week. Greg, did you? Is that what you were talking about?
Well, they mentioned that was one of the questions, and I wasn't going because I think WikiLeaks is just one of the most ridiculous groups in the world. And whether they're... it's ridiculous to even talk about. But it was one of the questions.
Excuse me, Greg. I'm drunk enough to interrupt you. Did you hold that opinion of WikiLeaks when they were taking all of Chelsea Manning's documents about the Iraq War and spreading them out for everybody to see?
Yes.
Or is your hate...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've always thought that WikiLeaks...
Then I give you points for consistency, my friend.
Even as a liberal Democrat with small, large L, there's something reckless and crazy about them where it's just it's just too far. And then two, the fact that they hold these things until October, where it's no longer a question about truth for them, it's a question of politicalness.
It's clear that they are against one candidate and for another. If they were document dumping, if they had let go of Donald Trump's tax returns, then you could say, okay, they're providing a public service. But they are clearly a partisan organization at this point.
Yeah, they've got a beef, and they're holding it on for something.
Yeah, and
but
so
no, no, um, this is, It's crazy.
Let's talk about these alleged transcripts of Hillary Clinton's speeches to Goldman Sachs. First of all, they are transcripts or transcribed notes. They are not her speeches. We don't know how accurate they are. We also don't know whether things were implanted in them by the Russians or whoever might have had a motive to hurt her that are not actually things that she said. Secondly, even given that, there is nothing. I mean, I haven't obviously read all of the transcripts because I don't even think they're available online. But I have read the articles that claim that they found a smoking gun against Hillary Clinton. And when you look at the phrase that they take out, like, she's for open borders, and then you read the actual quote in context, there's nothing damning about what she said. It's all very benign. It all makes sense. No, she wasn't playing up to Wall Street. No, she wasn't saying that that Wall Street are the only people that can fix the financial industry. She was saying they play an important role in fixing the financial industry. So all of this crap, frankly, that the GOP is trying to lop onto Hillary Clinton as some kind of scandal, it's all a smokescreen. There's nothing yet in those documents that in any way hurts Hillary Clinton.
I would add a couple things. First of all, I would say if there actually was something that the Russians or Mr. Assange implanted in the transcripts that weren't there, we probably would have heard about it by now. So I don't think they actually did anything like that. I also think most of the stuff was frankly anodyne. Honestly, I think the Republicans are actually behaving like, to some extent, what the Republicans are doing is if there were any friends of the Republican Party in Wall Street, they have all basically been scared away by this nonsense. Because if Hillary Clinton actually says Wall Street has a role in helping solve this problem and the Republicans all scream bloody murder, how can you say that? What Wall Street financier is going to actually spend any time with the Republican Party? It's silly. It's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
I'd like to now turn the focus to the videotape that was released Friday of Donald Trump and Billy Bush in a bus going to a soap opera taping and their comments, which I think everybody in the universe has already condemned. I want to ask you guys how you think this plays in the context of the election. Clearly, it hurt his campaign. Clearly, he has lost a lot of support because of it. But beyond that, do you see anything else, you know, that hasn't been factored in yet? Or do you have any other insights that maybe are not, have not been covered?
Well, we've been watching this slow decline. I mean, we said from the first debate that Trump was going to lose maybe 1 or 2 points or Clinton was going to gain 2 points. Well, we've already seen from, what was it, 2 days ago this tape came out? Trump's been dropping in polls 2-3 points already. He's been dropping, dropping, dropping. I think it will continue to drop. I don't think he plugged the dam at all. I mean, it's going to hurt him for at least another week or two or until the next big scandal. The rumor on the interweb is that there's a whole bunch of The Apprentice tapes that they've got that they're going to leak, where it's Trump being Trump on the set of The Apprentice with a live mic. This isn't going away. And with only 29 days left, this is it.
DJ?
What this tape, this videotape did, well, did a number of things. First of all, it is a reminder that when the Bush family wants to take vengeance upon someone, they will take vengeance upon someone, even if it's not the political Bushes. Some Bush is going to mess you up. The other thing is, I think for a lot of people, it was not a surprise. And I think that's what hurts Trump the most, is that this just reinforces what so many people thought of him. And it was something that doesn't so much indict Trump per se, because I think a lot of people thought, yeah, this is Donald Trump. But it is really an indictment on the Republican Party that stayed with him for so bloody long. They knew this is what he was. I doubt any of them were really surprised by it. The fact that so many are still willing to defend him says they were not surprised by it. This was just an actualization of what we all knew Trump was. Donald Trump is a user. He uses people. That's what he does. And he doesn't care what happens to the people he uses. He doesn't care if the people he uses are violated in the most intimate manner or in the most explosively financial manner. He doesn't care. He uses people. And so many Republicans were willing to let themselves be used. And then suddenly they said, oh, wait, this? What? No, I can't handle this. And to be fair, you know, we need to at least be somewhat respectful to them. But the fact that so many are still willing to defend him, it says more, I think this says more about the sickness within the Republican Party than it does about Donald Trump per se. No one is surprised that Donald Trump said the things in the video. We expected this of him. It's the fact that so many Republicans still defend him that surprises and frankly disappoints me.
Okay, so here's my take. First of all, I think that this is another one of the nails in the coffin of the Donald Trump campaign for this reason. Hillary Clinton on Friday morning was already ahead around 5 points, and she was solidifying her lead in key swing states, including Pennsylvania, including Colorado, including North Carolina. She was locking those down before the debate. Florida too. Before the tape came out. Now, with this tape, you know, Donald Trump, everybody says, oh, it's Donald Trump. Don't count him out. He's beat expectations before. Donald Trump does not defy gravity. And political gravity says this. When you're already losing, and then you're hit by a major scandal, and this is probably the largest scandal ever to hit a presidential campaign in presidential history. Not a presidential politics. That would be either Watergate or the Lewinsky scandal, or maybe Teapot Dome. But in presidential election campaign history, this is probably the worst October surprise to ever happen. When you're already losing by 5 points, if you bleed another 2 points, it's fatal. And that's why I have no doubt that Hillary Clinton is the next president of the United States. But there's another thing that I want to say about what we saw on that tape. Donald Trump tonight in the debate claimed it was just locker room talk. I've never done that. You know, it was just boys being boys. Well, that's all well and good, but there are already two women who have come out who have confirmed he behaves like this. Jill Harth, a businesswoman and a pageant owner who was trying to negotiate a deal with Donald Trump in Atlantic City, said he grabbed her private parts. She has said this. Temple Taggart, a former Miss Utah who was in the Miss USA pageant, has said what he talked about on the tape is exactly what he did to me. He started kissing me on the lips out of nowhere. So the idea that this was just locker room banter is false. We now have women who have confirmed that this is what Donald Trump does. And you know, there's a reason we call them privates and private parts. They belong to the owner. They don't belong to people like Donald Trump who want to see how you're going to react if I put my hand on your genitals.
And that's fine. And frankly, you're right. What I will say has no disagreement with anything you've said, with one small exception. Your assertion that Hillary Clinton will definitely win. I will actually take a different angle. Donald Trump will definitely lose. Hillary Clinton will almost certainly win. The only thing that could actually stop Hillary Clinton from winning is if within the next 3 weeks, I'm not saying this is going to happen, it probably won't, but if it does, if Gary Johnson actually catches and passes Donald Trump before the end of October, because this election is November 8th, if Johnson actually catches and passes Trump and gets into second place by the end of October, then you will see a stampede of Republicans and Republican voters to Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson, I believe, and granted I'm a supporter, I believe Gary Johnson can beat Hillary Clinton. I'm certain Donald Trump can't. The only way Hillary Clinton can lose is if people see it as a choice between her and Gary Johnson.
Right, but we.
I'm not saying that will happen.
I know you're not predicting it.
The odds are very much against it happening.
I know you're not predicting it. What I'm saying is,
one, that I want it to happen, duh, and two, it's the only way Hillary Clinton can lose. So long as people presume that Donald Trump is the only realistic alternative to Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton is not going to lose this election.
Media buys have already been bought at this point, although the RNC backed out of a giant media buy for the Trump campaign. But all these things have already been purchased for the next month, okay? If Johnson isn't in place and they don't have the cash on hand, if they're saying, you know, hey, I'm good for it, it's done. And if he's at, what, 8%, 9%?
It's silly. Listen, DJ, God bless you for advocating for your candidate. I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I don't want to mislead our listeners who maybe aren't in the United States and don't understand United States politics. That is not going to happen. It is never going to happen. It will not happen in 50 years. Gary Johnson is not going to get beyond 12% of the vote. And he would be the most lucky man in the universe to get that.
And if you are right, and odds are you will be, then Hillary Clinton is going to win. All I'm saying is Donald Trump cannot beat Hillary Clinton, period.
So we're the in other agreement. Thing I would, Hillary Clinton is an
We're in agreement
the
there.
United
we're
States.
In agreement there.
So with that said, listen, it's been an interesting night, and it is going to be an interesting week. And we will be back with you next week on A More Perfect Union. Please listen to our podcast on iTunes, rate and review us on iTunes, tell your friends about us on Facebook, and if you like political debate and want to be part of ours, join our Facebook political debate group, Open Fire. We're all there, and we'd love to see you there, too. Until next time, ta-ta.
You know, DJ, I will buy you a Big Johnson t-shirt from the 90s if Johnson wins.
Okay.